As you begin to work with this, you understand that this energy's there for you, and you push it out into your life, okay? You've already decided what you want. You know what you're going. High intention, high clarity, high resonance, okay? I don't really have to go over that again because I spoke about it on Wednesday night. But high intention, for those of you that were not there Wednesday night, is basically deciding what the heck you want. High clarity is understanding that your thought form will have to move through the grossness of matter. And so high clarity is looking at the action plan. Who are the people? How is it going to come about? Realizing that no matter what rigidity you put to the plan, the life force is a way of giving it to you spontaneously. So it never comes from where you think it's going to come, does it? It always shows up from somewhere else, but it shows up. And then basically high resonance is doing all of those things that are going to deliver the product. So if you want to become a great violinist, high resonance would be training, you know, practicing 6 hours a day, however much you want to practice, you know, owning the violin, listening to orchestras, reading books about music, practicing your music, talking about your music, going to the opera 9 times a week, playing the opera, playing violinists, meeting with violinists, studying violin, blah, 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 you know, and you put all of it in there. So you resonate so much intention all around this project of becoming a violinist that eventually, gradually, eventually you become it. You put that energy in of, I will never quit. I will never quit until I do what I want to do. Okay? To get all of this, we have to go beyond fear. Okay? We're going to do an exercise now, which is going to take about 10 minutes of going beyond fear. Chris has offered to be a volunteer, and I'm going to show you what we're going to do. Okay? Sit here, Chris. Now, I'm going to ask you, do you feel more comfortable with your legs apart or with your legs together? Legs apart? Good. Then let's put your legs together. That's your question. Okay, now I'm going to play God Force. Okay? I'm non-judgmental, non-critical. I do not have any decision to make about your life, okay? But I'm going to ask you for 2 minutes to tell me what you really fear. And I'm going to ask you, Chris, to not shilly-shally around and say things to me like I fear being sick. I want to know specifically, what do you fear? Okay? Don't shilly-shally say, I feel I won't be accepted. I want to know what you actually fear, okay? When you tell me, I'm going to thank you, and then I'm going to ask you one more time, what do you actually fear? And we'll do that just for a minute, and then everybody else is, we're going to do it among each other, okay? We'll start now. Chris, you are loved. Tell me what you really fear.
I fear success.
Thank you. Chris, you are loved. Tell me what you really fear.
I fear being nurtured.
Thank you. You are loved. Tell me what you really fear.
I fear the opposite sex.
Thank you. You are loved. Now, tell me what you really fear.
I fear strong people.
Thank you. You are loved. Tell me what you really fear.
I fear myself.
Thank you. You are loved. Tell me what you really fear.
I fear
height. Thank you. You're loved. Let's stop there for a minute. Okay, now Chris really got into it because I could feel him really changing his energy. Feel it, yeah? Okay, the only thing he was doing was he wasn't going a long way along that what he really fears. Okay, for him to offer a fear and then not really explain it is a little bit of a cop-out, okay? Because it's a bit like, well, I'll offer the fear, which is already courageous to say what it is you fear, but let's get an explanation of what you really mean, you know? Like, for example, I fear strong people, okay? Then the next question the God Force would ask would be, well, why do you fear strong people? But of course the God Force doesn't ask questions, okay? So the only way Chris can get the maximum out of it would be, I fear strong people because I don't feel strong myself. And I think that they're going to stomp all over me, okay? Do you see?
All right.
So there's a point in it that if you stop early, the God Force stops with you. Okay, because it's never going to come down and say, well, really, explain to me what you do feel, you know? So let us do this exercise, but let us really, really extrapolate what the hell we mean, okay? I'm going to ask you all to look at what you really fear. And understand that when you face a person, you play God Force, he plays person. You don't get to judge, remember, comment, criticize, or even think about what they're saying. All you do is find out what their name is, and you look them in the eye, and as you watch, I was looking at Chris all the way, right? And you just say, you are loved. Tell me what you really fear. And as you do that, you begin to touch what the hell really scares you. And when you realize what scares you, you come to the conclusion that it doesn't scare you, that it's totally nonsense. But let us look at it as an exercise, okay? I'd like you to split up.
At this point in the seminar attendees took a break to perform that fear exercise which we've just listened to. For those of you listening at home or listening on your own, of course, what you can do is find a friend or a loved one that will do the exercise with you, do that part where you spend 3 minutes absolutely graphically describing what it is you fear. Or another way that you can work with it, if you don't have somebody that you can do the exercise with, is take a piece of paper and a pencil, pause, and then really review what you are scared of and write down the main points, you know, like your greatest hits, so to speak. And as you write them down, verbalize them, you know, out aloud. Write down and begin to look and see how so much of what you fear isn't real. So much of what you fear is basically thought form that you've inherited from other people. You know, you hear about a plane crash and you think, gosh, that might happen to me. But you don't understand that you are in a different evolution. You're in a different path of power, a different destiny pattern. And so it isn't going to happen to you. And as you write down these fears and as you vocalize them and really look at them and be graphic, as you heard me say on the tape, you know, explain and extrapolate and be detailed about your fears and write them down. And as you do that, that will allow you to dissipate that energy from within you. And now back to the Melbourne seminar.
Let us look at this. Today we've done it with another person in a difficult situation here where we've deliberately tried to make you feel uncomfortable. However, when you begin to work with it with yourself, you go down into a meditation and you look at what you really fear. And did you catch yourself being less than all? Did some of you not really say? I mean, be honest. Did you tell all? Who didn't tell all? Okay, that's fair. Understand that the God force doesn't come along to you and say, you got to tell all. You can do what you like. But if you don't live in truth, what is the meaning of life, you know? You got to live in truth. You got to live with where you actually are. You can't allow the ego to hide from you where you actually bloody are. Because where you are is where you are. You're never going to be able to... You can kid people, but you can't kid yourself. Okay, as you look at that fear, did you get a feeling of, once you talked about it, like it really wasn't such a big fear after all? Yeah. That, like, it's mostly thinking about the fear that worries you. The actual fear isn't so bad. Yeah. Okay, as you deal with fear in life, constantly the ego, the intellect, the left brain, that part of you will bring fear up. And when it brings it up, you look at that fear and you understand that it's basically not rational. Now, if you're coming out of Safeways and there's two tigers loose in the shop, okay, that is fear. At that point, never mind the left brain, never mind the right brain. Run like crazy, okay? There's no sense in messing with any kind of meditation or mumblings. You just run. But generally, 99.9% of the time, up comes a fear, and it has absolutely nothing to do with reality. Okay? It's nothing to do with reality. I fear death. So what? Who cares? If you fear death, that's stupid. What you have to do is endorse life. I celebrate the beauty of this day. And if today is the day that I die, I don't care, because I feel happy. I've had a fantastic life. I feel fulfilled and strong and beautiful. And tonight we have an ice cream. And I don't care if I miss it. I fear sickness. You don't fear sickness. You endorse health. You work on your body. You look after it. You nurture it. You care for it. And so you have health. And if it looks like it's going off, you come and get it back. I fear not having enough money. You endorse being abundant, being creative. Do you see how you vote whichever way you want to vote? You can vote for fear or you can vote for the love, which is this empowerment. At this point, let us just stand up and I would like you to clap for a few minutes, the hardest clapping that you can, okay? Let us just clap because you've done well. Chairs facing the front. Next set, I'll probably get you the same if we've got enough time. But they're little ideas that you can begin to incorporate in your life as affirmations. And as you walk in the early morning, or as you do a meditation, or as you're just sitting waiting for the next bus to come along, You might want to create these feelings inside of you, because feeling good about life is the first step. I feel abundant. Having money sets me free. Opportunities find me. I am always in the right place at the right time. It's fun for me to be a wealthy man or woman. I'm eternal, immortal, universal, and infinite. My expectations are limitless. Feelings of triumph, feelings of success, anchoring and creating a solidity inside of you that when the intellect goes back and says, what is our experience in this situation? It goes click, 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 and up comes 10 successes. What happened last time? Last time we had a full house. What happened the time before that? We still had a full house. What happened the time before that? We did really well and we sold $18,000 worth in 3 days. And what happened the time before that? The time before that, we got a free holiday to Hawaii and back. And what happened the time before that? The time before that, I met this married, wonderful man that I'm now married to. And what happened the time before that? We gave birth to 6 children, all on the same day. Yeah, it was fantastic. And what happened the time before that, you see? And so then what happens is, the memory banks pull from the good parts. And so every time you remember a good, you remember and you put yourself in a dimension of power. You put yourself in a dimension of strength. And then you go from negative expectancy, it can never last, to I'm infinite. It can last as long as I do and beyond. Negative yearning, what if only, to I feel good about myself. So you might want to look at those. I feel abundant. Having money sets me free. Opportunities find me. I'm always in the right place at the right time. It's fun for me to be a wealthy man or woman. I'm eternal, immortal, universal, infinite. My expectations are limitless. I used to have those on little cards, and I'd carry the cards with me, and I'd read the cards from time to time, almost like a mantra. Just feel the feeling. Not so much saying the prayers, but feeling the feeling. When I say to you, I feel abundant, what does that mean? You know, like create the feeling, you know, is that a mink coat or, you know? One of my friends, she would visualize herself nude with a mink coat off in the middle of Piccadilly Circus. But that was abundance to her, the opulence of this coat, and knowing that she was nude underneath. Okay, so that's extravagantly abundant to her, you know? Whatever's abundant, what is abundant? You know, a beautiful house, a beautiful car. Maybe a dining table set for 20 friends with the best that there is in the world, you know? Or you taking 20 friends on your yacht. But that feeling of, hey, I can do it, okay? Then what we're going to look at in the next set is creating within you the super self and a feeling of that you can get what you want. You see, one of the things we do is we have a tendency to live in the fantasy and dream 10 years on, you know? What I'm going to ask you to do in the next state of meditation is to just put up in your mind's eye what you feel you can create within 6 months, you know, as we did on Wednesday night. But let us look at really anchoring that feeling. Hey, I want to be this and this and this and here. This is what I can get done in the next 26 weeks. You know, this is how far we can go. And let us create that feeling, and you come out of it. Constantly fake it till you make it. You constantly come out of exuding the power regardless of where you're at. How much money you've got has nothing to do with abundance. Where you're at has nothing to do with abundance. It's this feeling, okay? I would just like to run through half a dozen concepts. They actually belong to another seminar, but they're interesting, and I'd like you to have it, okay? Before we close, in the section marked action plan, okay, you understand that only people believe in money, okay? So where you're going to get your money is from people. To get money from a person, usually they have to know you, so you're going to expand the amount of people you know. Then you're going to have either a skill, a knowledge, or a product. There are people out there who yearn to make money, but they don't have anything to sell. You know? And they're hoping in a way that, like the Lord, they're playing, the Lord will provide. But the God force cannot mail you a check out of the clouds on the off chance. There has to be an excuse for people to transfer their energy to you. But more than anything else, you have to have a way of transferring your energy to them. Because that's how it works. You transfer your energy to them in the form of a washing machine, and they transfer their energy to you by giving you $688 worth of moolah. That's how it works, okay? So what are you going to transfer to the people? And if you don't have something that is worthwhile transferring, then you're going to have to spend a year or a month or 10 years or 20 minutes developing something, whatever it takes. Did you like that?
Yeah, thank you. Like your book you wrote, Stuart.
Thank you. 20 minutes developing something that you would transfer to the people in the form of energy, and they're going to transfer you this green stuff. Okay, so you're going to need a skill. Okay, so that would be like you're a plumber, you're a midwife, you know how to train canaries to read and write, you know, or whatever it is you do, but you have a skill that you can do. If their fortress dripping, there you are, you know? Okay, or you have a knowledge. You're an accountant, you're a brain surgeon, there's something you know that they need, okay? A skill or a knowledge. And if you haven't got one of those two things to sell, then you're looking at having to sell a product. If you're going to sell a product, that's fine, okay? It doesn't have quite so much of the personality in it, usually, unless you created the product yourself, but distributing and buying and selling is neat, okay? And you can put yourself in it, but you have to become an expert in the bloody thing, and you have to pick a product that you love. The trick to selling, all selling, is you have to have something that you believe in, that you like, that you love, and that you know about. I would say 50% of all salesmen haven't got a clue about our products. And haven't you been in a store and you've asked the geezer, excuse me, but does this washing machine da 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 da? And he says, I don't know, I only work here. You know, I don't know, I'm only the sales director. How would I know whether the thing goes round or not? Does it wash socks? I don't know. What does it say? Then he opens the lid and it's written in Czechoslovakian. He goes, oh, I'm not sure. If you don't feel confident, the customer's not confident. The customer says, will it work? Yes. Will it last? Yes. How do you know it'll last? I know, because my wife's been using it for 15 years. They last. They're great. Well, what happens if it breaks down? I'll be there. I bust and will be there. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I will be there for you. You just don't worry about it. I take responsibility to making this deal work for you. When you agree to take responsibility in the world, you agree basically to become wealthy. But there's people who won't buy houses because they don't want to be responsible. So what do? These mugs, they pay rent for 50 years because they don't want to be responsible. In the end, they pay for 3.5 houses, but they still don't own one. I don't want a house because I don't want to be responsible. That's stupid. That is totally stupid. You know? But there's people out there that do that. They would rather pay $500 a month for 60 years than buy a house. Dumb. When people say to you, will you be responsible? Yes. Why? Because metaphysically you're responsible anyway. Will you be the manager of the store? Yes. Will you see that this money gets to the bank every morning by 10 o'clock? Yes. Will you make sure that the Northern Territories get 350 big cartons of diddlies every Thursday? Yes. Will you see and make sure that the 65 members of this factory are all happy and bedded down and get what they want? Yes. Will you be sure that you close the factory gate at 11 o'clock? Yes. Once you take responsibility, then what can you do? Billum. I'm responsible. I want $60,000 a month. You guys don't have to worry about keeping this corporation going. I do. If I have to worry about it, I want to get paid $60,000 a month. Why? Because the corporation is making $6 million a year. And I want 10% of what it's making because I'm responsible for making it. I'll take responsibility. If there's any of you that have evaded the responsibility, you'll be looking at less than best in your life. So you get up and you say, yes. Will you be responsible? Yes. Will you make sure? Yes. And when you agree to be responsible, you step out ahead of everybody else because they look upon responsibility like it's some kind of disease. You know? I don't want to know. I don't have to be responsible. As you look at that skill, knowledge, or product thing, you look at whatever resources you have. We've already talked about expanding what you are. We've talked about high intention, high clarity, high resonance. We've talked about defining your purposes. We've talked about setting up an energy within you that says, I will never quit. We've talked about opening up to receiving. We've talked about expecting to receive, okay? We've talked about action. That really, you cannot put a thought form into the physical plane and not follow it up with action. Action. We've talked about becoming skilled, okay? We've talked about moving away from fear. All of this stuff, you just put even 10% of this stuff into your life, it's got to work, hasn't it? How could it not work? If you're disciplined, if you know what you want, if you become used to asking for what you want, if you don't mind what people think of you, and it's not combative, you genuinely, honestly, out of the love of your heart, don't mind. I don't mind what you think. I endorse and honor your decision about life, about yourself, and about me. However, I am going to the movies right now. What do you want to do? If you want to come with me, I'd be delighted and honored for your presence. If you want to go someplace else, that's fine. When you look at that, you understand that there's no limit to how much money you can have. There's no limit to how much energy you can create, and there's no limit to how much you can charge. Let me ask you to put up your hands if tomorrow morning you're going to start charging more. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to get your $60 back right away. Okay? So you put your 60 in and you get 120 back. Charge more. But to make it work so people don't balk, okay, I want you to spend a week before you put your prices up making it more beautiful. Healthier, cleaner, more attractive, better energy, nicer product, nicer presentation, more service. I want you to look at expanding the amount of love in whatever you're doing. Then let us say in a week's time, if you can move quick, or let us say a month's time, if you don't move so quick, then you put your price up. But first you put the love and the service in, then you stick your price up. If you stick your price up and there's no upward movement of energy, people will feel ripped off and your business will go down. So what you do is you look at the place of business and you look at those hemispheres, okay? Physical, what does it feel like? Is this thing a crescendo of beauty? Or is it like, you know, is it like a piece of gob on the wall? You know, is this, how many times have you gone into a restaurant where you feel that like if you touch something, you die, you know? How many times you got on a train, it's revolting. How many times you've been into an accountant's office, the place is revolting. All the magazines are gummy with chewing gum, they've been there years. You know, how many times you go into a place where it is life-giving, life-empowering, beautiful, where the showroom is immaculate, interesting, funny, alive, vibrant, this free coffee, this free this and that, you know, these things that nurture you. How many times do you ever see a bloody faucet that you can work with your toes? You know, when you do, you love it. I've talked to you in the past, I just remind you about a shop that I know where they charge you to go in. It's so brilliant. Psychologically, they set it up right at the beginning. They charge you to go in the shop. You pay, I think you pay 50 cents to get in, Americans, maybe about 70 cents Australian, right, to come in. And the shop's a palace. It's immaculate. It's unbelievable. The energy is like this, it's like this cavern of incredible things. Little mechanical toys and potpourri and stuffed pheasants and classical music and a dripping fountain. And the place is just atmosphere. You go in just to bath in the atmosphere. When they come to you, you make them bath in the atmosphere. And the atmosphere has to be beautiful. Then you charge them anything you like, as long as the product is good. That they come in, and when they finish, whatever they're doing with you, their energy's up. They feel the power. Then what you charge them, it doesn't matter what you charge them. Charge them whatever you feel like, you know? And they say, you say, it's $60. And I said, but it's always, I thought it was $40. And he said, no, I feel good about myself. $60. You know, this is how I feel today. Okay. So looking at, you've got to actually be in there. Okay. The other thing that I would like us to look at is this. Wealthy, abundant, creative, holistic, loving, incredibly neat people have the following characteristics. Okay. One, they are motivated. I'm going to ask you to walk outside this door and spend the rest of your life motivated. And you have to keep on thinking of ways to motivate yourself, but you've got to keep yourself motivated, because basically the ego will take you and sit, you know, sit you down in front of the telly until you die or something. You know, you die of boredom, actually, probably. Motivated. They are risk takers. They don't care whether people ridicule them and say you're stupid to do that. They don't care. They don't care if they lose every bean they've got. They're risk takers. They're going to go for it. They're going to learn. They're going to try. And if it doesn't work, they come back again and again and again. They're risk takers. You do not care what people think about your life. So you can take risks. If it works, you're home free. And if it doesn't work, you've learned, you can modify it, and you come right back out of the trap again. Bang, I'll have another go. Risk takers. They're dedicated. I will never quit. I will never quit. I will never quit. The dedication. If you allow the physical plane to bump you off, if you allow the ego to rubbish you in and not deliver it, you've missed the boat. Limitless. They are limitless. They do not try to get their abundance down a little peephole. They say it can come any place, man. Bring it along. I'll take it in Mongolian Tajiks. I'll take it in Coca-Cola bottle tops. I'll take it in stuffed camels. I'll take it anywhere you want to send it up and I'll take it. They're limitless. The other thing is they're highly creative, and creative is basically stream of consciousness. It's being in touch with the inner you, which is in touch with all things, and you develop a creativity about what you do. Whatever your job is, or whatever it is you do, bring to it an originality. Okay, something that nobody else does. You know, something, like you walk in a restaurant and there's this incredible pit. People say, what's this pit for? You say, it's for the alligators. You know? They say, why do you need the alligators? You say, that's the way I like doing restaurants. They say, what's this rickety bridge? You say, that's the way you get in the restaurant. They say, well, don't one or two of the customers fall in. You say, yep, we lose a few. But that's the way we like it. And when they get to the other side of this pit, they're hungry. Right? And there's something there about the restaurant that's interesting. It's not just, most places are boring. You know, most shops are boring. Most cinemas are revoltingly filthy. You know, most buses, I mean, you wouldn't call in there to die. Make yours beautiful. Very quickly, there's a guy I know, he had a gas station. He was a gas station in a street where there was, I think, 11 or 12 gas stations in the same street. And what James did with his gas station is, he created a palace in the toilet. When you walked into James's gas station, the toilet was carpeted. It had little flowers in it. It had little paintings on the wall. It had all manners of little Kleenexes and stuff, you know, and hand lotions and perfumes. The place you could have your brekkie off the floor. It was immaculate. It was like a five-star hotel in this sleazy gas station. Folk would drive 9 miles out of their way just to come and relieve themselves in James's station. And when they were in the restroom, he was filling up the cars. Then bit by bit, they began to say, well, what else do you do? Because a man that can keep his restroom so immaculate, when he says to you, I can then service your car, is he going to do a good job? Yeah. So James's business flourished just because of the restrooms. And I tell you what, it was a shock. Because the restroom door looked like any other restroom door. But when you walked in there, it was immaculate. I don't just mean clean. I mean, there was all sorts of things that you never expected. Little flowers in the men's restroom? Are you kidding? I mean, men's restrooms are the lowest energy places in the world. A little ball of flowers in the men's restroom, little paintings of racing cars. It was immaculate. Carpet? You've never seen carpet in a men's room. James put carpet in his gas station. He didn't care. The secret is to bring something that is life force, that's energy, into what you're doing, and then charge more. Motivated. They're inventive. They are inventive. They believe in themselves. Which is also part of that, what you think of me is none of my business. Because if you believe in yourself, even if you make the most horrendous blunder, what difference does it make? I believe in myself. All right, you know, half of the building fell down, I took one brick out and the building collapsed, but never mind. I still believe in myself and I enjoy watching the dust settle. Believe in themselves. They are highly adaptable. They head out in one direction. If it doesn't work, they change it. They move it around, but they're highly adaptable. And finally, and probably the most important, is they are highly mobile. Humanity has a way of creating a thought form that says, I want money, but I want it sent down to number 92 Acacia Avenue, Melbourne, Friday mornings between 9:10 and 9:15, every Friday of the month. And the universe doesn't operate like that at all. At all. And when you look at nature, you can learn about it. Because nature does not say there will be an antelope on the path, you know, in the northeast corner of the forest at 9:30 tomorrow. There's a spontaneity. If you're not highly mobile, the answer to your dreams might be in the next state, in the next village, in the next country. If you don't walk across from there, you'll starve and struggle all your life. If you're not mobile, being mobile means looking at your life, getting stripped and ready for action, saying, I like Melbourne, I like my house, I like my car, I like all of this, but if tomorrow morning I have to be in Bujumbura to do what I want, I'll go. And I won't try to drag my grandfather's clock and an aspidistra with me, I'll just go. You know? Are you ready to move in an instant? And then when you're ready to move, that probably means you won't have to. But are you ready? Are you mobile? Are you ready to accept going 300 miles to get what you want? You see, humanity doesn't work like that. They want it down there, and at that day, and right delivered, and no, it doesn't work like that. And when you are prepared to move, then perhaps you won't have to. But if you are prepared to move, then suddenly a good idea might be great in Melbourne, it might be fantastic in Sydney. You know? Might work well in Canberra, but take it to Melbourne and it'll just absolutely go bananas. You'll flourish like crazy. So sometimes, somewhere, they're highly mobile. If you keep that mobile open, free kind of consciousness, it allows you. It allows you to move to where the abundance is. And abundance is not like a block that's in the middle that's stationary. It's a moving sea. You know, opportunities are moving all the time, and if you're not moving with them, scanning through the forest for where the next protein intake is, you know, you don't get it.
Hello, this is Stuart Wilde again. We cut the last couple of minutes of this program out from the Australian tapes because it dealt mostly with a personal question of one of the seminar attendees. This, in fact, concludes our program. And I'd like to leave you with this one thought. The trick to the mastery of money is having some. And the only way that you can get it is to concentrate on it. By concentrating upon money, the abundance that you know you can create for yourself is bound to be there. Thank you.